ओम ज्ञानच निरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः.
From the beautiful and meaningful prayers of Queen Kunti. Again, she is talking about the experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how the jiva can experience the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We hear the processes of seeing and remembering are stressed. She is desiring calamities, because in difficulties we tend to remember, or at least those who are devotionally inclined, tend to remember Krishna more. In the case of Kunti Devi, difficulties meant for her not only remembering Krishna more, but actually seeing Krishna more. Actually, a devotee is thinking of how to serve Krishna. But in the beginning stages of devotional service, we're just trying to think, how can we remember Krishna? And then we'll think about serving him. We may pray to Krishna to protect us. What does that mean, that we pray to Krishna to protect us? Krishna, protect me. Krishna, 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 Raksha, Maam. What do we mean, Krishna, protect me? What are we actually calling out for? We're asking that Krishna will protect our body. Krishna designed the body that it will be destroyed. We do find cases where devotees pray for their honor to be protected, as we find in the narration of Shakhi Gopal, Sakshi Gopal.
To defend their honor.
Honor, yeah. H-O-N-O-R.
Prestige.
There's a slim difference. Prestige. Where the young Brahmin prayed to Gopal that the honor of the elder Brahmin be maintained. Now, this Krishna, 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 Raksha Maam, this was chanted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sannyas Leela. That means in his pastimes of accepting the status of a sannyasi, although he's always beyond the status, any materially imagined status. A sannyasi deliberately accepts difficulty. There are four statuses of sannyasi. Kutichak, which means one who is between the status of a householder or a vanaprastha and a sannyasi. It is the vow of every sannyasi not to enter the home where he lived before. It is the vow of every sannyasi to enter a home where he never lived, his family home, where he was living with his family. Kutichak, he constructs a small cottage near to his previous home. He accepts the difficulty of not being directly connected with his home. When bahu means many, and utaka means water. So it means he bathes in many waters. It means he's started his traveling. Not necessarily rivers.
Different
bodies of water.
Yeah.
Then parivrajak means that he wanders here and there, specifically with the purpose of enlightening others. And hamsa means that he's achieved the perfection of status. It's originally written as hamsa. Sometimes called paramahamsa to distinguish from the hamsa, which literally means a swan. So traditionally the sannyasis accept many austerities. We find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, didn't like to accept any comfort. We wanted just to sleep on the hard floor. He refused the scented oil that was prepared for him with great difficulty by his dear devotee, Jagadananda. Actually, life in those days was more difficult anyway. Just like we turn on the tap and, at least in the winter season, hot water comes out. But previously, water had to be brought to a house from a body of water, of good water. And it wasn't that every house was close to a good source of water. And in India, there used to be a whole class of persons whose only occupation was carrying water. There are two devotees one, Ramai, his duty in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to bring water. That was his service. That doesn't mean that he went to the local shop and bought some Borjomi water or any such thing. But he had to go to the nearest source of clean, potable water, carry it, and then deposit it in the big pots which used to be kept in houses, huge pots. And if you wanted hot water, then you had to make a fire with wood usually, And that way you will get hot water. So bath in the winter, usually, if you're going to take a bath in the early morning, usually meant in cold water, very cold. Although we find that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through Jharkhand, he used to take bath or he used to heat himself. He used to bathe in the waterfalls, and he would heat himself with wood fire. There's so much wood in the forest, obviously. And he's bathing in the waterfalls, it's specifically so. You said that? Mm. I heard again re-echo.
It's mountain.
Mountain river. So, life anyway was difficult, but sannyas life was especially accepting difficulties, especially traveler's life. Difficulties and dangers also, because walking means you may walk whatever paths, they went through jungles, and there were many dangerous animals. Elephants, tigers, lions, wild pigs, panthers, although they don't usually attack grown humans. Snakes, scorpions, or there were thorns, or so many thorns on the path, some of them poisonous. There's another danger also, which traditionally sannyasis didn't have, but at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that was there. That was the danger of passing through territories ruled by Muslims. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being warned, don't go that way, don't cross over that river, that's ruled by a fanatical, demoniac Muslim. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting, Krishna, 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 Raksha, Maam, Krishna, 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 protect me. Of course, he is Krishna. Anta Krishna Bahir Gaura. He is constitutionally Krishna, but he appears externally as golden. But this is his sannyasi lila or acharya lila. He's showing the pastime of being a sannyasi and an acharya. So what does it mean when he's praying to Krishna to protect him? Is he asking that his body be protected? Possibly, because in the human body, one can execute Krishna consciousness. Generally, when the conditioned soul is deprived of a human body, he is simultaneously deprived of the opportunity to engage in Krishna consciousness. So he may be praying that you protect this body so that I engage in this body in your service. So it is... It's possible for a devotee to pray to Krishna that please protect me from dangers and difficulties. Now, a non-devotee or a semi-devotee, a materialistic devotee, that's exactly the right term. Materialistic devotee may pray to God, protect me from danger. But that prayer for protection from danger is different from the prayer for protection from danger of a pure devotee. A mixed devotee prays for protection from danger so that he can continue with his sense gratification undisturbed. Whereas a pure devotee prays for protection from danger so that he may continue with his devotional service. So the two may appear to be the same, but they are very different. And it may be that a devotee is aspiring to be a pure devotee but is not completely come to that platform, so he may be, his prayer for protection from danger, whatever it may be, it may be somewhat in between the platform of fear for his body and that of desiring to engage purely in devotional service. Kunti Devi's aspiration is to be fully absorbed in Krishna, fully absorbed in, that means in thoughts of Krishna, not merge into his existence. This is clear from her prayer, one of the prayers she offers here. Traime nanya vishayam atya matupate sakritratim udvahatadatha gange vaugham udandati. She prays that, dear Madhupati, Krishna, may my thoughts be ever concentrated on you, may they flow towards you, just as the Ganga flows towards the sea unrestricted. So her praying for difficulties is because she thinks that I will think of Krishna more intensely and difficult. This prayer can never be understood. It's not understandable by materialistic, even pious person. Materialistic, pious persons are going to temples or churches or mosques or whatever and praying, "Dear God, please remove all my difficulties." And Kunti Devi is praying, "Please give me difficulties." Indrajumna Maharaj was describing in his diaries how he was traveling in America shortly after this 9/11, as it's called, when the twin towers of the World Trade Center came tumbling down. We were all here having a festival at that time, and no one seemed to care very much. Anyway, this tragic event, almost as severe a tragedy as killing thousands of cows in the slaughterhouses in America. Unfortunately, Americans, they didn't understand yet that they're bringing tragedy upon themselves by creating tragedy in their own backyard. Anyway, this event had a major impact on the American psyche. Their complacency was shattered. They felt afraid in every situation, even sitting in America. Indrajumna Maharaj was traveling in America shortly after this event. And Americans are pious people. I mean, apart from their cow slaughter business and their pornography business and so many things. And the average man in the street, as it said, believes in God. So Indrajumna Maharaj described that when he was traveling in America after this event, that people were very favorable to see him in his attire as a monk. On his flight to America, a lady sitting next to him said, "I'm glad you're on this flight. It's good you're on this flight." Because they were afraid of flying. If they felt, well, with this monk on board, then we should be protected by God. Of course, those planes were flown into the Twin Towers by people doing it in the name of God. And Indrajumna Maharaj gave other examples. He was chanting, they were driving their car and they saw some apples being sold on the side of the road. So they stopped and he got out and was walking up and down and chanting while his son from his previous ashram got a whole box filled up with apples. And the person selling the apples asked his son, "Who is that monk?" He saw him walking up and down chanting. So the boy, whose name I don't remember, said that, "Well, that's my father." And the merchant said, "Well, we need more people like this in this country," and gave him a whole box of apples free. So they were, because of the danger, they were perceiving, now we are in danger, so they thought of God more. Similarly, after the Second World War, we find in the original Back to Godhead magazines written by Srila Prabhupada in the 1940s, we find that at the end of the Second World War, people were thinking that now we have to become more aware of God. These wars have happened because we're not thinking of God. So that is actually a fact. God comes to this world and he also sends his representatives to remind us of him. But if we nevertheless insist on forgetting him, he manifests himself in the form of wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, and so on. And atheistic people take these wars, famines, etc., as evidence of the non-existence of God. As one famous lawyer, politician, and social critic in India stated when he was asked whether he believed in God, Ram Jetlamani, you never heard of him. He said, "Well, I used to believe in God, but when I went to Gujarat just after the earthquake there and saw children buried under rubble, screaming, and people not being able to reach them, and then they're slowly dying, then my belief in God became shaken." People think that God is meant to make our life comfortable in this world, but others who are more pious, when they find that there's no other shelter to turn to, no other means of relief, then they pray to God for relief from their difficulties. There is the famous example of Draupadi, when Dushasana was attempting to disrobe her. Now, Draupadi is undoubtedly a pure devotee, but she was holding on to her sari. Not that in every circumstance a devotee turns to Krishna for help. Dependence on Krishna doesn't mean that we ask him to be our servant. Just like if I have an itch on my head, I may scratch it myself. I don't think that Krishna should come and scratch it for me. So Draupadi was holding onto her sari herself. But she was finding that she wasn't being very successful. So she thought, well, it's better, it's time to call for Govinda. Now, so holding on to her cloth, with one hand she, with the other hand she beckoned to Govinda and called out, Govinda. But finding her efforts unsuccessful, she put both hands and said, Govinda, Govinda. Now, if you remove both hands, if a lady is attempting to disrobe her, and she puts both her hands in the air, that means she's given up any hope of protecting herself. So at this point, Govinda manifested himself in the form of unlimitedly long cloth. So however much Dushasana was pulling, she was still covered. So this is another instance of a devotee invoking Krishna's protection to maintain her honor. Ultimately, a devotee accepts whatever Krishna gives him, or whatever Krishna takes away from him. Janmaobi marobi jo icchatoha nitya dasa pati tu adhika. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that maintain me alive or kill me as you desire. I'm your eternal servant, and it's absolutely your prerogative how you deal with it. However, Kunti Devi is praying for more danger, thinking it would be very good for her spiritual advancement. If we can adopt this mood, then we can cross from the platform of being a materialistic devotee to the platform of being a pure devotee. Recently, I was in the home of a family, who are all devotees, but the man of the house, the father and husband, even though he's been connected with devotees for many years, was very weak in his spiritual advancement. So I asked him, how many rounds are you chanting now? He said, about four. I said, what do you mean about four? Well, he said, because of diabetes, I go for a walk for half an hour every morning, and then during that time I chant. So that's about the time it would take to chant four rounds. So then I said, well, I hope your diabetes gets worse. Then you'll walk more, and then if you have to walk more, then you have to chant more. So they didn't say anything at the time, but later they conveyed to me through someone else that the whole family was very upset that I had said that. saying that, you know, bhakti is not dependent upon diabetes. No, they said that you can also be a devotee in comfortable material circumstances. So why didn't you bless us with comfortable material circumstances so that we could do bhakti? So they missed the point entirely. They missed the point of what I said, because they missed the point of what, because they continuously throughout their lives missed the point of what bhakti is all about. As Kunti Devi explains in the next verse, she is praying for difficulties. Because if one has material facilities like Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri, high birth, wealth, intelligence and learning, and bodily beauty, then one tends to forget Krishna. People are praying for Janmaishwarya Shruta Shri. She's praying for pure devotional service. Most people are praying for the opposite. One attains Janmaishwarya Shruta Shri according to one's karma. That is a major factor. Of course, it is possible by going to a beauty salon to improve one's looks, by burying your ugly face in spots in a thick layer of cream and lipstick, when some people who think that's beautiful might be attracted. In India, there's one cream called Fair and Lovely. You see it in every bathroom, every family bathroom that you go in. Because in Russia, people are going out during the few days of summer to try to make their white skins dark, because they think that's very beautiful. They think that to have, that if the covering of the blood, bone, stool, mucus, etc. is darker, then it will be better. But in India, where people are born with dark skins, we're thinking that if the covering over their blood, stool, mucus, pus, bones, etc. can be lighter, that would be more beautiful. So they rub this cream on their face and arms, etc. and anxiously look in the mirror every day to see if I'm becoming fair and lovely. However, pure devotees are simply praying for pure devotional service to Krishna. Try to maintain the body healthy for Krishna's service. They may do or may not do. They may or may not try to maintain their body healthily for Krishna's service. Generally, a devotee is recommended to try to maintain his body healthily for Krishna's service. But he knows that ultimately everything is in Krishna's service. Look after the body so carefully, doing so many exercises and taking so many medicines, and then anyway, you might just drop dead on a drop of a hat. So a devotee depends on Krishna. We may also, however, pray to Krishna that you help me to advance in my devotional service by giving me difficulty. Sometimes we think, well, you know, if I could just adjust this or adjust that or get some more money or get a bigger house or get a better job or get a better wife or something like this, then I could be Krishna conscious. So it may be that by adjusting our situation, if our intention is pure, our devotional service may be increased. But it may be that also in great difficulty that will intensify our taking shelter of Krishna. Anyway, whatever the circumstance, the devotee's intention is only to engage in tivra bhakti, or concentrated devotional service to Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example of the sun ray, which is already hot, going through a magnifying glass and becoming even more intense. So Kunti Devi is praying for difficulties. Her actual prayer is not for difficulties. That is not the essence of her prayer. She is not a masochist. But she is praying for difficulties because she feels that difficulties will facilitate her progress in pure devotional service. The essence of her prayer is a prayer for pure devotional service. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is there any question about this?
Oh, certainly. That is the goal of a pure devotee, to remember Krishna in all circumstances.
However, Kunti Devi is, through this prayer, she's pointing out that we tend to remember Krishna, or devotees tend to remember Krishna more when they're in difficulty. It enhances the remembrance of Krishna. That doesn't mean that we should, for instance, hire people to beat us with sticks. Or we shouldn't deliberately buy a pair of shoes that's too small for us so that our feet hurt at every step. This material world is by its nature full of difficulties. So a devotee should accept whichever difficulties come upon him in the course of his jivan yatra, his journey through this life. Any other questions?
In these verses,
Prabhupada's referring to that verse in the 10th canto. It's the same word is used, vipada, and that the spiritual world is the world where there is no danger. In the material world, there is danger at every step. And one should take shelter at the lotus of the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, which will help one to cross the